I'm your host, Jeff Ragavan, and welcome to Alchemy, the podcast all about building a business on the front lines of the new economy.
Welcome back to this week's episode of Alchemy. We've got Brad Farrell. He's the Chief Marketing Officer of Beekman 1802. Brad, welcome to the show.
Hey, Jeff. Thank you. I'm excited to be here.
Excited to have you. So for everybody that's tuning in right now, Beekman 1802 is, they're a lifestyle brand. They have a ton of different products ranging from skincare to home goods and even food, inspired by the historic Beekman Farm in upstate New York. And Brad, you're upstate as well.
Yep, I live in New York.
Yeah, I think what I love about what you guys are doing too is just really focusing also on sustainability. And I'm really into sustainability. And I know we were talking before the show, I've got a nonprofit, which is all about clean water and oyster growing. So when I was introduced to you, I was like, oh, this is super cool. So Brad, I think before we even go into Beekman, quick background on you, you've had an amazing career, especially in the CPG and luxury markets. You're at L'Oreal for 14 years. So you know a thing or two about beauty brands and body care, which is amazing. And now that you're the Chief Marketing Officer over at Beekman, obviously skincare industry has been exploding. Some of them are focused on sustainability, but talk to us a little bit about your company. You know, obviously you guys are doing a lot of things around ethical practices and sustainability, but give us kind of a quick 101 and you tell us a little bit about you.
Sure. Well, first off, thanks for having me. Pleasure to be here. Yeah, as you mentioned, I've been in the skincare game for a while at L'Oreal for 14 years across different brands in the consumer division of L'Oreal, the flagship brand, to the luxury division. I was with Kiehl's for 5 years. Really had a wonderful experience there. Learned a lot, trained me for where I am at today. I say taking a CMO job at a smaller brand, you know, requires so many different skill sets, and really everything I learned at L'Oreal kind of set me up for success in this role today. So joining Beekman 1802, you know, it was a smaller startup, kind of indie brand, been around for 14 years now. And the company has an amazing story. It was founded by our two founders, Dr. Brent Ridge, who was, is a doctor who studied aging. And then actually Martha Stewart tapped him to be her head of wellness and started her wellness pillar. And then Josh Kilmer Purcell, his now husband, who was a New York creative, worked a lot of great big ad agencies in New York City. And really, they were two New York guys, apple picking upstate New York one fall day, as they like to say, as annoying New York City guys do. And they passed this big, beautiful farmhouse. They said, oh my gosh, look at this beautiful home. Let's purchase it as our weekend home. And the home was actually the weekend house of the former Beekman family, which is a very prominent upstate New York family. And the house was built in 1802, and that's where the name of the company comes from, a very commonly asked question. Anyway, fast forward to 2008, the recession hits, they both lose their jobs, move up to this house in tiny little Sharon Springs, New York, and are like, well, my gosh, what are we going to do to pay the mortgage on this house? At the same time, a neighboring goat farmer left a note in their mailbox and said, I'm losing the lease of my farm. You guys have a lot of land. Could I let my goats graze on your farm? And they said, sure, but we have no idea what to do with 100 goats. You can live on the property and help us take care of the goats. And literally we say that, you know, the company started with 100 goats and one act of kindness. They took in Farmer John, his 100 goats. They all still live there today. Farmer John has a house in the back of the property, and they Googled, what do you make with goat milk? And soap was the first thing that came up. And that's really how the company started. They started making soap around their dining room table.
I think it's like jogging my memory. I think I remember reading this story years and years and years ago about the whole thing with the barn. It's coming back to me now. Mm-hmm. Okay. So soap was the first product.
Soap was the first product. Yep. So yeah, the company, we say, has two key ingredients, goat milk and kindness. And that goes into every product that we make. And what really started to happen is they made this goat milk soap. They started giving it to their neighbors. We still call all of our customers neighbors to this day. And people started coming back, and our neighbors were like, oh my gosh, this has changed my skin. I have psoriasis. I had eczema. I hated using soap before because it dried out my skin. But these products are really changing your skin. So Dr. Brent, being a scientist and a self-proclaimed nerd, really dug into the science of goat milk and really revealed that, you know, it has the same pH as human skin. So your skin really just drinks it right and it absorbs it. And to this day, we continue to study the science of goat milk. We just did a white paper study on goat milk, covered that it has 34 active nutrients in it. It's 54% prebiotics. It has peptides and other vitamins and minerals and ingredients. And it really is this super ingredient that helps to transform people, especially with sensitive skin. So that's all of our formulations are really now designed to help people get those clinical results that they want, but is effective and safe for sensitive skin.
You know, I think coming from the luxury market, right, being obviously at Kiehl's and working at L'Oreal and working on Kiehl's and all the other products for so long, you know, you have like a very established brand, like people know L'Oreal. You know, you're at a brand now that obviously has been around for a decade and people are aware, right? But what was the difference of maybe coming from a L'Oreal, right, from a marketing perspective, and then coming to Beekman, where there's still a lot of people that need to discover the brand? What type of tactics or marketing do you do differently here that you might not have done at L'Oreal? Just give us a little bit of insight into getting a smaller brand out there.
Yeah, I mean, I think awareness is always a big opportunity for a smaller brand. I definitely don't have my L'Oreal budgets that I had back in the day. So I think we have to get creative, and that could come about in multiple different ways. I think jumping on things faster is a benefit of being in a smaller company. You know, for example, when TikTok came out, we started seeing there was a conversation that was going obviously from moving and dancing to starting to talk about products, and particularly skincare products, which was exciting because, you know, as a skincare guy, when Instagram came out for makeup brands, it was so easy, right? You just pop a red lip and you put it on your Instagram page and you sell out of these products. But skincare requires more long form education. It's a lot harder to show in a picture. So I was so excited to see TikTok and this whole skinfluencer movement happening, where it was really about educating. So we jumped right on that trend. We had some really strong early success of getting some bigger influencers talking about us, both organically and from a paid capacity. And we really became an early top brand on that platform. I think another area is collaborations. We have really pushed our awareness through getting very creative with collaborations, from our Schitt's Creek collaboration that we did a couple of years ago to our recent collaboration we just did with Hasbro and Mrs. Potato Head. I think it's a really great way to, I hate to overuse the word disrupt, but I think it is a way to break through all the clutter and for people to associate you with something cool and exciting and, you know, not just doing the same thing that everyone else is doing.
That's awesome. I think that's the first time. I mean, I'm not in the industry like you when it comes to, you know, beauty marketing, but I think that's the first time I heard the word skinfluencer.
Yeah.
So, I love learning new things every day, but that's the first time I've heard that before. And then just out of curiosity, Brad, are you, aside from work, are you on TikTok? Like, are you consuming content on TikTok?
Oh, yes. I love TikTok. I'm a TikTok nerd.
I was a TikTok nerd also. I think probably it started during COVID. I was very much like, I'm not going on TikTok for years because my background has been predominantly social for the last 10 years. I co-founded Buddy Media. Brought brands onto, you know, utilizing Facebook and Twitter and all that. And I really was like, okay, I'm going to stay away. And then once I got sucked into TikTok, I'm like, oh my God, this is hell in a good way, you know, but like time constantly on it. And I'm actually not on it as much anymore just because things are crazy, but it is, the platform itself is just, it's unbelievable. I think the algorithm of really understanding what type of content you like, and then serving that to you. And then just the brands that I see on there are so creative.
Mm-hmm.
So I think TikTok is definitely really great for brands. I've actually bought a lot of product from there just from discovery. So it's cool that you guys are utilizing that from a marketing perspective. You know, we have a lot of people that listen in on this show. We've been doing this for a few years. Primarily, we started in the cannabis space and then really kind of branched out into other verticals. But we have a ton of aspiring marketers that listen to this show and really are always looking for tips and tricks, especially I think in the, you know, luxury beauty and skincare market. Any advice you can give to folks that might just be in their first couple of jobs, kind of a veteran like you who's been in the industry for a while, any tips you can give them or advice?
Yeah, and I think the number one challenge I would say for marketers today is there's so many things coming at us all the time, and it's like, oh my gosh, should I be developing a thread strategy? You know, that was like 2 weeks ago. What should we be doing and who should we be talking to? And the one guardrails that I always have is just, if you have a clear and strong brand identity and you know what you stand for, you can easily, or more easily, I should say, make decisions to say, yes, this collaboration is a good fit for us. Yes, this platform is a good fit for us. And I think that's kind of the first thing, is just knowing who you are and staying true to that, because it's easy to chase things and get lost. And yeah, it's not true to the brand. And the second I would say is that really comes from listening to your community. Like, who is your customer, or who are our neighbors, as we say? What do they want? What are they asking for? And from that, you could really tap into learning good insights. And when you have a good insight, that's when you can create great products or campaigns. And I think when it comes to product development and marketing, everything should start with an insight, right? If you're just creating another Me Too product on the market, it's not going to really change the market, or really is not going to take off. So if you have a good insight, like, for example, our neighbors were asking us for at-home treatments like peels, but we're a brand that's all about sensitive skin. So like, okay, like there's an opportunity to create a peel that's super effective but safe for sensitive skin. So tapping into that insight, and then when you're building that product, taking into account, like, how is it new, better, different than anything else out there? And then coming up with an activation idea that is really breakthrough and disruptive.
Very good. Quick question that just popped in my head. As we were talking about influencer, I think this is definitely a difficult one for people who have not done this before. But when you're thinking about influencers talking about, you know, your product, that are talking about, you know, the mission or whatever it might be, like, how do you find the right influencers, and how do you measure them? Are you measuring sales from the stuff that they're pushing out? Is it really just engagement? Like, well, how do you guys think about that?
Yeah, it's a good question. I mean, it's hard, and it's always changing. You know, I think when we were first going on TikTok, you could pay some of these big influencers, give them a brief, and it paid off in terms of you'd see a lift in sales and you'd see good cost per views and good engagement. I think the world's changing a little bit. You know, everyone is caught on, and the influencer market is a little more saturated. So I think just paying influencers for a one-off ad is not as effective as it used to be. It's more about building relationships and tapping into people who already know and love your brand, which is harder for smaller brands, or that, you know, you share a common value with. We look for people who share kindness, or maybe who need a little kindness, and that's how we tap into people. Or they have sensitive skin, and we've seen their sensitive skin journey, so we're providing products for them. And we have every influencer I work with try our products in advance before we work with them. I know some other brands just send people and pay them for a contract, but if you get people to use their product and they see that it changes their skin, their content is going to come across so much more authentic and so much more real, and people will believe it.
Yeah, I think I think you just nailed it. But the key is authentic, right? We see so many brands out there that are doing influencer marketing, and they're like, yeah, we're going to do micro influencers, which is great, right? Because everybody is an influencer in their own right. But I think where a lot of brands get it wrong is that these people don't care about the product. They don't care about, really, they're doing it for the money, right? It's like, hey, for $200, talk about this product, share it. That's not influencer marketing, right? I think that's what gives people a really bad name in that industry. I think what you just said is the deal, right? It's like, okay, these are people who love our products, that want to share our products with their friends because it works for them. I think more and more brands need to understand that it's not about, like, oh, we had 500 people talk about our product, but they don't give a shit, right?
Yeah.
That's not going to do anything, right? Other than give you a little bit of a boost for the time being. So I think you guys are definitely thinking about that in the right way. When it comes to the products, and obviously you guys have a lot of different products right now, and as the chief marketing officer, I know it might be hard to answer this question, but across, like, all of the different categories in the brand, do you have a few that are your favorites?
I do have a few that are my favorites. Yes, okay. Within our body care range, you know, it's true that when people try our bar soap, it really changes their perception of a bar soap, because I was not a bar soap guy. I was a body wash guy. And now I, like, cannot use anything else besides our bar soap, because it just has such a beautiful, creamy lather, and it just nourishes your skin.
I'm on the site right now. So where can I find that?
Oh, if you're on vegan too, just go to, there should be a navigation bar that says body or bar soaps and or bar soaps. Yeah. And we have scented or unscented. The pure one is unscented. And if you want scent, we have scented body care.
I love, I mean, I'm kind of with you. I do love like bar soaps now, especially with scrubs, you know, like they have like pumice and stuff in it.
Mm-hmm. Me too. When it comes to skincare, I have a million. I'll try to focus on my two or three favorite. The milkshake is probably my most fun favorite product. We launched that about a year ago. And it's like a 2-in-1 toning and hydrating mist. And I think, again, based on a real insight, a lot of toners out there have alcohol in them and they're really disruptive to the skin and the skin's microbiome. And we're all about being a skin health brand that's great for sensitive skin and safe on the skin's microbiome. And it's just a fun bi-phase product that you shake it up. It's alcohol free. It has great toning benefits. Mm-hmm. You have pore issues or oily skin, like I still struggle with acne in my 40s. But it's also super hydrating because it has an oil phase with jojoba and squalene. So it has great skincare ingredients, super fun to use. I use it right after my cleanser, but I also keep it on my desk and I give myself a little spritz and take a shake break throughout the day. Mm-hmm. And then my newest favorite product is what we just came out with this past month. It's called the Potato Peel. Really inspired by what I mentioned earlier, creating a peel that's safe for sensitive skin, but also clinically effective and kind to skin. So it's made with potato pulp and also lactic acid, lactobionic acid, and glycolic acid. And really the potato pulp and the goat milk, which is in every one of our products, helps to balance off out the acid. So you get that efficacy, but it doesn't burn or strip your skin. And it's just a really fun product.
Well, I will tell you, I'm looking at everything right now. And even your goat milk bar soap set, like the creative on the product is gorgeous. Like this is, I'm glad that I got reacquainted with you guys because I'm always looking for fun gifts to bring people. And these are gorgeous.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, we are a highly giftable brand.
Yeah, love that.
Gifting business.
Cool. Well, this is awesome. Well, I'm pumped that we got connected and Fred have no idea how we've never met. And we basically, I think we're probably around the same age and have been running in the same circle for 20 years. So
I know. I'm glad we're friends.
Yeah, me too. But no, it's great to have you on the show and good luck with everything and all the continued success. And brand looks beautiful. Products look great. I can't wait to try it myself. I'll do some shopping right after we get off this podcast.
Oh, great. Thanks so much for having me, Jeff. I appreciate it.
Brad Farrell, CMO of Beekman 1802. Thanks for coming on the show.
Thank you.
This episode of the Alchemy Podcast was brought to you by Philo. Thanks for tuning in. And if you enjoyed today's show, don't forget to subscribe and share.